Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
You are listening to the 3 Indie Podcast. As always, I am your host, Justin Lewis. Joining me, as he does every week, is Mr. Ben Hogan. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. Doing well, actually. How are you doing?
Good. A little tired. This late night game we had against Boston.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as late as they were as ones a few weeks ago, or I guess last week.
What's up with an 8:30 start at home, though?
I don't know. That boggles my mind on why they would do that here. But
especially against the East Coast team where their fan base is 9:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, they usually tip off 6:30 our time there. So,
and it's not like we were on national TV and had to be behind somebody. It don't make no sense.
No.
All right. So
was that one of the games that they changed lately? Like, they changed the start times of a few games.
I have no idea. So let's talk about it. What stood out to you in tonight's overtime victory over the Boston Celtics to bring us to a 20-20 record?
I mean, the obvious is John Morant. He looked good. I mean, he looked awesome. Good's an understatement. We haven't seen that a lot lately in these past, pretty much since the All-Star break. I mean, we got a glimpse of it before the All-Star break, and then after that, it hadn't been much. He's been inconsistent, and it didn't seem he's been as confident as he was tonight. He just seemed in his own element. He seemed like the best player on the floor. And, you know, we see him as a lot as like the most athletic or biggest highlight. But tonight he just looked like the best player on the floor, which was awesome to see. I know that Boston had a few players out, but still, it was awesome to see.
Speaking of highlight – What was that alley-oop that he did, man? That was nuts.
It looked like he was just like – he was horizontal. He was just, you know, flat in midair, basically. I don't know. That was incredible.
With his left hand.
Yeah.
So, for me –
after he missed a dunk, that was an easy one.
Yeah. He was trying to go crazy on a poster, but he shouldn't have. He could just put that one in easy. Yeah, Ja was – I remember at one point in the game I heard them say Ja had 24-7, and I was just like, hold up, he's got 24? It felt like a quiet 24, and he ended with 29. I think it was because maybe he was efficient, and it wasn't like a bunch of threes. It was just him getting to the bucket and doing all kinds of witchcraft around the glass.
Yeah, I mean, he was what, 12 of 25? He did shoot – he was 1 of 5 from 3. I mean – it's not the best, but still, I mean, you really needed him to shoot that much tonight, it felt like, you know. That's what he's going to do to get him to play like that. That's fine. I mean, he was dishing out the ball, 9 assists. It's not like he was just throwing up shots. He was doing what he could, getting to the bucket, like you said. And it was a good job performance tonight.
Yeah, I'm still not okay with Valanciunas only getting 10 shots when it's Daniel Tice or Robert Williams guarding him, and he was shooting 70%. That can't continue. I'd say the 25 shots and for John, 22 for Dylan is a little much. But I mean, we won. So, and that's the thing, like,
right.
The tendency for fans and the media is to let stuff go, let it off the hook after a win. Here's something that I don't want to see Coach Jenkins get let off the hook for. I just wish somebody in the media would ask him point blank, why did you not play DeAnthony Melton to close the game when he was playing so well? Like, does that not just blow your mind?
I was shocked. You know, we've discussed this, his end of the game rotations, late game rotations, fourth quarter rotations, whatever it is. It just, you know, he's made bad rotations going into the fourth quarter as well as the end of them. I just don't know why. Yeah, Grayson had a nice big, he had a big shot in overtime. Cool. But still, like, I don't think they'd been in overtime if DeAnthony was in there to close the game out. I don't think that would have mattered.
Or if your end of game shot is not John Morant shooting a pull up three.
Well, you should know better with that. The analytics should tell you something about that if that's what you're using. I don't understand it. It's just one of those questions that he has to answer, and if no one asks him, he doesn't have to.
So for me, like, it's obvious you close with Ja, and the way that Dylan was playing, although he had five fouls, he did have seven rebounds, seven assists, and two steals. You leave Dylan in there. Valanciunas was a rebounding monster. He had 19 of them. But if you were worried about defense, Clark had a Brandon Clark game. So he easily could have been in there. I think Justice Winslow probably should have closed over Kyle. Winslow led us in box plus minus at a plus 11. He did some really good stuff out there. I don't think you lose much between Winslow and Anderson beside the three-point shot. Winslow hit the side of the freaking backboard on one of them. But Desmond Bain at one point in the second quarter scored 10 straight points for the Grizzlies. He clearly had it going, but then for some reason lost. Grayson Allen had 33 minutes, and I am a Grayson Allen fan, a believer. But tonight he should not have had 33 minutes over Desmond Bain's 18 and DeAnthony Melton's 15. That doesn't make any sense at all. I want to see somebody ask. I don't think they're going to, because the Memphis media, I bet if Ron Tillery was still here taking questions, he would ask.
You know he would. He would do it just because no one else is.
We need Ron back.
You should go on Twitter with that take.
Yeah. All right. Let's move off of this, unless you got anything else you want to throw in there about this game.
No, not really. It was good to get a win. I mean, you know, the Celtics are tanking and all, cause they're sitting some guys. So,
yeah. Losing culture over there in Boston.
Yeah. I mean, they need to straighten it up over there. And it was good. You, when you saw that Tatum was out, you kind of thought, you're like, the Grizzlies have to get this one. And it was nice to see them get this one. You say that about OKC a week ago. And you saw what that happened with that. The first game against the Warriors, you thought the same thing. You're like, we're going to get this one. You know, it would be nice to get the first game of back-to-back at home. Instead, you had to scratch and claw your way to get one of those two in the second night. And they went out and took care of business. Took overtime, but they needed this one.
Right. Well, Thursday is trade deadline, and we've already had – I think one Woj bomb, Kevin Gehlege, I think that's how you say his name, for the Clippers, the forward, the stretch forward out of Florida State, was traded to Sacramento Kings, because you know how Vlade Divac loves his bigs. Essentially clearing away a roster spot for the Clippers that allows them to either sign somebody that's bought out or trade to fill one of those roster spots they now have. Stuff's coming. There's talks about Aaron Gordon going to the Boston Celtics. The Kings offered Marvin Bagley to the Detroit Pistons. But in regards to the Grizzlies, do you see anything more than Gorgui Dieng getting sent out for something small, or him being bought out, happening in Memphis?
No. It's been – I don't know. they say when it's been way too quiet, that means something's happening. But I just think that nothing's happening right now. I think that that's basically what's going to come down to is they're going to – Gorgui is not going to be a member of the Grizzlies after the trade deadline, whether it's they've gotten rid of him or like traded him or just let him go.
Right. I agree. The only other thing that I can see happening is attaching Grayson Allen to Gorgui. Joe Mullinax said it on Twitter tonight, you got to take the toy away because the toy's getting in the way of the better players being on the floor. And I don't think anybody can argue that D'Anthony Melton is far and away a better player than Grayson Allen. It was just like J.B. Bickerstaff with Shelvin Mack. For whatever reason, he just kept rolling him out there. And then it was Solomon Hill last year with Jenkins. You know, Hill had some good moments, but he just – there were times where people were just kind of confused. Why does he keep going out there? This year it's Grayson. And like I said, I love Grayson. He does good things, and he has probably the purest stroke on the team. But with Melton fixing the little hitch in his shot and shooting a better percentage than Grayson, and he can defend on ball and do the same type of playmaking and rebound probably better than Grayson Allen, I could see just for the sake of getting rid of a rotation player because you got too much and maybe getting a back-end first-round pick or a couple second-round picks for Grayson and Jane, that's probably the most that's going to happen for Memphis by Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're pretty focused on doing what they can with what they have now, and maybe adding some assets down the line if they can.
Yeah. I don't expect anything too exciting out of Memphis Thursday, but let's get to something that is going to be exciting. The bulk of our episode tonight is I came up with this idea for Grizzly Bear Blues to come up with a keeper list of guys that you'd want to build the future with around Ja and Jaren. So obviously Ja and Jaren's not going to be on these lists. And the best part of this is that Ben has no idea what my list it looks like, and I have no idea what Ben's list look like. We obviously have an idea of where Dylan Brooks may be on my list, but it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm actually going to fill Ben's list in as we go because I don't know. I know his top two. He knows my top two, but from there, we really don't know. So for some context, Ben, outside of one crazy person, Clark and Melton has been in everybody's top two. So where we differ, I have Melton one and Clark two. You have Clark one and Melton two. So I'm gonna let you go first and explain why you have them in that order.
I just think Clark brings you more versatility to your lineups. I think you can roll him out there as a possibly even a 3, 4, or 5 at times, just depending on what type of lineup you want to run with. We've seen him play some good minutes recently in the 5 spot. And also it's, you know, I think he plays well next to Jaren. I know he'd come off the bench at times, but I just think he brings your a lot of versatility to your lineup. He's athletic. He can score. I think he just brings so many different things to the game, to your lineup, that I think that he's probably the good third wheel to Ja and Jaren.
And those are all fair. I think Clark's versatility between 3 to 5 is very true. He does play well next to Jaren, and a lot of people believe that the future at the 4 and 5 is those two, or Clark is your super six man going forward. So here's what I got from my reasoning. The NBA is a guard-oriented league. And the Grizzlies for years have struggled to have just consistent wing play outside of a point guard. And Melton is starting to prove that he may be that player. He has unreal wingspan for a guy his size. As I mentioned earlier, he's fixed the hitch in his shot. So he's shooting it at like 43% from deep right now. He's an excellent on-ball defender. His playmaking on ball can get better, but if you still got Ja and Tyus and Winslow on the roster. Milton's responsibilities on ball actually go down. And that, here's a kicker to why I put Milton over Clark. A healthy Justice Winslow makes Clark a little bit more expendable, because in Miami, Winslow played some small ball five as well. Winslow can defend and be interchangeable just like Clark can. He's not as explosive. He doesn't do the same things that Clark does. But if we're talking about the switchability on defense, Winslow can bring that same thing. But he also brings the playmaking and a little bit better perimeter defense than Clark does. So with Winslow being healthy, I think that bumps Clark down just below Melton for me. So that is who I have third on my list, is Justice Winslow. Assuming that he stays healthy from here on out, I think he is the next piece behind those two that you'd want to use to build around John Jaren, because of how versatile he is. And his on-ball defense is so valuable. And they absolutely need that. They're going to need that stopper, because I'm getting rid of the current stopper if I had the chance. So
does this affect your rankings? Is that how this is going? It's like Dylan Brooks last. So let me just go ahead and just.
He's not last. I promise. To be honest, I'm looking at the list right now. Somebody actually has him as low as I do. So I'm not alone in my thinking. And it doesn't seem like anybody has them in their top three. So maybe there's some GBB sobriety going on. So who you have number three?
I have Desmond Bain. He's a shooter, and the league is full of shooters, and that's what you need to do to win in this league now. And just like you mentioned, for things that the Grizzlies have had trouble with stability on the wing, they also don't really haven't had a reliable three-point shooter. I mean, we have guys that can catch on fire, and they'll make a bunch in a game, but we haven't had a consistent three-point threat. And I just have a feeling like if you trade away Desmond Bain, he's going to turn into – I mean, he already leads the rookies in three-point percentage. You trade him away, he's going to be a top guy in the league from three-point. You're going to be like, we had him the whole time. Like, why did we get rid of him? And I think that's why. And he looks like he's improving on his game too. And he looks really comfortable coming off the bench. Maybe he just isn't a starter, which is okay.
He's a rookie, can come off the bench. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And if he can come off the bench and get you like 10 in a row, like he did today, just quick points off the bench, that's what you want in a bench guy. You want a guy that can score a lot of points real quick while the starters are getting a quick, quick rest. That's what you want in a guy, and that's what the Grizzlies have.
Right, and so for a lot of those same reasons, I have Bane as my next guy, number four. I love his shooting stroke. He showed tonight his ability to score off the ball, and, like, he caught, he hit, like, three floaters. It's just contagious on the Grizzlies team. He threw some passes that were just like, okay, I didn't know you could do that. The only thing that worries me with him defensively is his wingspan. He's built a little awkwardly, to me. I just feel like I'm watching like a fullback out there or a linebacker.
So he's got broad shoulders, Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm not sure what his ceiling is defensively. So that's why I have him one spot behind Justice Winslow, because for me, as a basketball coach myself, I value defense over offense. If you can create turnovers and get stops, you can score on the break and do all that. But Bane's shooting ability is why I have him at four. So who do you have following Bane?
I got Justice. I mean, I just think for a lot of the reasons you said, and just the thought of Ja, Jaren, and Justice playing together healthy, all three, is very, very intriguing. And I just think that's the type of core that also that you definitely can build around. And Justice, like you said, does give you versatility. And that's really what you need in this league. If you want to go small, you can go small. If you want to go big, you can go big. And also, it makes Tyus a little bit more expendable, but I'll talk about him later in the list, because Justice can play the point guard when need to. And I'm not going to say you need to trot Ja out there for 41 minutes every night, or close to 40, but Ja's going to be a superstar. Like, he's going to be considered a superstar in this league, and that's the type of guy you want on the floor as much as possible. So that's why I like Justice at that's why I'm at four.
All right. Who do you have going after him?
Tillman. He's a young guy. Yeah. I kind of did this list based on if, because it's like it's a future slash keeper slash trade, whatever list. And I took this as one of those. If I heard the Grizzlies traded him tomorrow, I would be like, what are they doing? And I kind of went from there to there's a few other guys in here in their listing. I took a few other things into consideration, but I just think it'd be, you see the potential with Tillman, and I think it'd be too early to give up on it. Plus, you know, him and I asked if him and Jaren can play together in the NBA. We've seen them play together in college. They're great friends. You don't want to upset Jaren either. You want to keep his buddy there until he signed, you know, until he hopefully, you know, sticks around for the future and all that stuff. So you got to do what you got to do. And that's why I have Tillman at five.
Tillman at five. Let me go ahead and fill that in. I believe you may be the highest on Mr. Xavier Tillman. For me at five, I've got Jonas Valanciunas. And, you know, both of us are big fans of his and what he does. The walking double-double currently has the longest streak in the NBA in double-digit rebounds. I think he made that 11 games, or tonight might have made it 10 games straight for him in double-digit rebounds with 19. I think when you talk about building this team around Ja and Jaren, okay, and then you've got Clark as your as my second guy to build around, where's the rebounding coming from? And I know, you know, we had a long discussion on GBB with Molinax, saying that, you know, Valanciunas has to go because he's, you know, he can't defend. And to an extent, no, laterally, Jonas Valanciunas is not built to defend. He does a decent job of protecting the paint, but his rebounding is so invaluable when it's a struggle of Jaren's. Clark is a above average rebounder, I think, for his size and his position. But Jaren, for his size, just is just reminiscent of Marc Gasol. He's like, come on, man, you're 7 foot. You should be more rebounds than this. And people want to say, well, he plays on the perimeter a lot on offense. Well, okay, so he doesn't get 1 to 2 offensive rebounds a game. So what? But he should be snagging 7, 8, 9 defensive rebounds a game at 7 feet tall. So if I'm building a team around these guys, I think bringing back Valanciunas as a veteran presence, number one, but number two, his ability to rebound and just the tenacity that he plays with, I think is invaluable for this team.
All right. I got Dylan Brooks next.
Dang, man.
I just think every team has to have a guy like him on their team. This is nothing to do with the spot on the team right now. I do think he'd probably be better off the bench, but games like tonight, I mean, he can come out there and he can play defense on the other team's best guy. He can frustrate them. He's got the dog in him. He's, like I said, I think every team needs to have a guy like Dylan Brooks, and that's why I have him ranked right there at number six.
So you don't think Winslow can be that guy?
I think he can, but I haven't seen him get as, I don't know, into other guys as Dylan has. Dylan has a tendency to just frustrate the other team.
Dylan
some nights he shoots more too many shots.
Dylan has like some Lance Stephenson piss you off in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so
Patrick Beverley type.
Yeah, there's that too. So you've got Brooks following Tillman. I've got Kyle Anderson following JV at six, and I, you know, which is nuts because last year I was all pro trade Kyle, get rid of him. He doesn't belong on this team. Blah blah blah. But if we can get the 15-5-5-2-2 Kyle, where he's getting 15 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, and 2 steals. Man, stuff's the stat sheet, man. You just got to have him around. Like, He gets stuff done. Now, obviously, his ideal role is as a four. He's not a three in this NBA, this today's age. And so when I'm looking at this, we're kind of clogged already at the big man spot. We've got Jaren, I've got Clark, I've got Valanciunas, and then there's Winslow. But Winslow can play the three. So, you know, it just depends on how you want to – if you want to run Valanciunas off the bench behind Jaren to dominate on second units, or, you know, that takes away, you know, him compensating for Jaren's weakness. I don't know what you do with him, but I think there's a spot for Kyle building around this team also because he is the OG, as Chris Vernon put it. He's the old guy on the team. I just think he's somebody that would be valuable to keep around. Following Kyle, for me, I have Tyus Jones, simply because he's the best backup point guard the Grizzlies have ever had, and I don't see a reason just to get rid of him. And he's somebody that allows Ja to play off ball if we need him to. He's some insurance that if Ja, you know, gets crazy and tries to murder somebody on a poster again and lands wrong, we've got a serviceable NBA point guard that can slide right in and take care of the offense, not turn the ball over, and do what needs to be done. Every team needs a good backup point guard, and we have that in Tyus.
After Dylan, I had Jonas. I had Jonas at seven. I mean, I think he's good. I like Jonas. I think he's underrated, and it seems like sometimes, you know, when the Grizzlies struggle, it's like, hey, let's trade JV. He's not doing anything. He's a reliability on defense. He's this and that, you know, just get rid of him. They don't need him. I think that's just very short-sighted, as he gives you so much on the offensive end. And he's decent enough. I mean, he can match up with the big man down low, most of them. Sometimes he struggles. I mean, we've seen that. He struggled with the Lakers. But I think he's definitely has a place on the team and in their future. And I'd like to keep him around. And then I have Tyus at eight as well. I think that's where you had Tyus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got Tyus at eight for same reasons. You know, he's a backup point guard. He's the best one the Grizzlies have ever had. And it's hard to find a good backup point guard in the league, as evidenced by the Grizzlies' franchise-long struggle to find a decent one.
No, I got Tyus at seven.
Okay, so I skipped out. I had Dylan at six, Jonas at seven, and then Tyus at eight. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So Tyus for you at eight. That 7-8 range seems to be everybody's in kind of consensus there for Tyus. JV's all over the board, man. Valanciunas ranges from 2 to 12 on our list.
Wow. That's a ridiculous range.
Which is nuts. So luckily I'm doing averages when it comes to the posts that we're going to put out. For a while I was on the high end, until I just had one submitted, and that one was different. So following Tyus, so for me at the A spot, I've got Grayson Allen. Just his playmaking, his ability to score the basket, his efficiency. You know, I'd love to say that he doesn't hurt you on defense, and then he let Jeff Teague just blow by him multiple times tonight. So that kind of just defeats my case. I think Grayson is a guy that just makes winning plays. He's a winner. He has been at every level. He's you know where you're going to get from him. The only thing is that if he's off, don't know if you can leave him in the game. I mean, he hustles. I mean, he plays hard every game. There's no doubt about that. It's just for somebody at his size, if he's not knocking down shots, I think his value goes down a little bit. But we're at that point now in our keepers that, you know, there's only really one left on my list that you'd argue to put ahead of him. Number nine for you.
Grayson.
You got Grayson right there.
Yeah. I mean, by this point, it's just kind of like, you know, I can explain a little bit, but he's kind of towards the bottom, and it's a lot of has to do with who he's taking minutes away from, more or less. He's good. He can, if he gets hot, you know, he can go for 20 something points. If he's cold, he can go 3 of 13. It just depends on which one you're getting. And sometimes you're not getting much on the defensive end either. So inconsistency, and then who he's taking minutes away from, pretty much why he's that low.
Yeah, there's a lot of Grayson at that 8 to 10 range, for sure. So not crazy there. All right. So my number 9 is Dylan Brooks. Okay. This list goes to 15. So he's not at the bottom. But for me, going around this team and what I have available to me, I prefer the efficient scoring of De'Anthony Melton and Desmond Bane over Dylan on the wing, and I'll trade off his defense for a combination of Melton and Winslow, and even Kyle. I just think that unless he gets moved to a bench role, which I don't know that this coaching staff has the balls to do, his value to this team is not what it could be, as a starter, playing 35 minutes. I mean, even tonight, like, we're impressed with him, but he still shot below 50%. His jumper, and I've said this 1,000 times, and people want to say that I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know a thing or two, I've coached for a few years now. His form and his release is just hard to repeat. And until he's able to fix his release, he's not going to be a consistent shooter, period. And like tonight, the last three that he took, one of the things that we teach our shooters is to stay in your shot. Don't walk out of it. Shoot the shot, hold your release, and stand there until it goes through. And it's because if you're trying to run at, like, you have to be elite, like Steph Curry elite, to be able to shoot the ball and then turn around and run off before it ever goes in. He's not elite. Okay, he needs to do the right things on the court, do the right things when shooting, as far as it comes to form, to be more consistent. And until he is a consistent shooter, he will always be low on my list. Parker had an article that came out today that was a really good read, talking about Dylan Brooks and his ascent to, you know, all defensive status. And I think that is absolutely hysterical that people believe he is an all NBA defender. Because yes, so what, he gets matched up with the hardest guys. He's still averaging 4.2 fouls per game. And he wants to talk about he's improved his fouls. Okay, he dropped down.
That's aggressiveness, Justin. That's aggressiveness.
He went from 4.7 fouls last year to 4.2. If you want to call that an improvement, then call that an improvement, whatever. But he does the
dumb. You're a math teacher. If you round up, it's 5. If you round down, it's 4. He's improved by 1.
He's improved by half. And he does just – he gets the dumb fouls. Like tonight, just a random swat at Jaylen Brown's arm when he flies by. I'm like, there's no point. And what if we were in the penalty? He does that all the time. The other team's in the bonus, and he just does some dumb foul 75 feet from the basket. So pump the brakes on the all defense stuff, because that ain't it. But I do encourage you to go check out the article that Parker wrote, because it actually was a really good read. Very well done. He has a lot of good stuff in there on Dylan. So I've got Dylan at 9. Rounding out my top 10 is Xavier Tillman. I don't like his mentality of shooting threes as much as he did, but he does rebound well. He defends well. He's got a decent little mid-range game. I just think, for me, where's his growth going to come? Like, how much more can Tillman be than what he already is? So his low ceiling, I think, is why I have him so low on my list.
That's understandable. I mean, I get that. I still see some potential. We had him play with Jaren. Of course, I had him at 5 and at 10. At 10, I have Kyle Anderson, and I have him this low based solely on his trade value. It's never going to be higher than right now. That's the only reason. I like him with the Grizzlies. I think he brings a lot to the table, but I do think that it's a small, small window to get anything for Kyle if you are going to trade him. Don't wait till the end of the season to trade him. I think you won't get as much. I just think that it'd be smart for the Grizzlies to kind of shop Kyle around, see what they can get. Because I don't necessarily think that they think he's part of their future, long-term future. I think once his contract's up, he's probably going to be gone, or he may find himself another spot, you know, with a team that he can finish his career off with. I don't know. He may want to stay in Memphis. I don't know. But I just think that if the Grizzlies want to get anything for Kyle Anderson, the window is small, and they would have to do it soon.
So do you think at all there's a possibility that he's traded at the deadline?
I don't think there's that much of a possibility, no. I don't want him to be I like watching him play, but I just think that if the Grizzlies are going to get anything for him right now, his trade value is never going to be higher.
I agree with that. It's kind of like, you know, Tyreek's year in Memphis, the way that he was playing. I would argue that was probably the most valuable he ever was. And we botched that whole situation.
Yep.
But I think Kyle's in a similar boat. This is the most valuable that he's ever been in his career and ever will be, I think. Not to say that he can't improve, but he's having a career year. And there are teams that would love his playmaking, his defense, and his rebounding. And so if there's a contender that's real serious on a very affordable contract, I would say the Grizzlies would listen to that. I don't think they'd be like, no, he's got to stay. He's part of our future at all. Who you got after Kyle?
I got Tilly.
Tilly. So now we're in the bottom five. And this is just personal preference at this point.
Yeah. I mean, do you want me to just roll through them real quick?
Yeah. Roll through your bottom five.
Okay. I got Tilly, Conchar, McDermott, Porter, and then I got Gorgie last, just because I kind of feel like he's already got one foot out the door. Even if he's not walking out the door, the Grizzlies are shoving him and he's got one foot out.
Yeah, so my round out, I still have Gorgie at the top of that bottom five just because he is valuable. I'd love to see him back on a vet min to be that third big in case of an injury or extreme foul trouble or something, because he can shoot it, he can rebound, he can defend. He is a valuable player, but obviously him being last on the list makes total sense too. Matter of fact, you're the only person so far that has him on the very bottom.
It's not over. Yeah, I would like him to stay on the team, but he's not playing at all.
Right. Yeah.
He's just out of the rotation unless Jonas gets injured. And then he'll pop up for 28 minutes or something like that.
And he'll have a 2013 game.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I got Tilly, Conchar, McDermott, and Porter. So at that point, you know, Tilly's the stretch big that we haven't got a chance to really see. Conchar is he is what he is. Like,
he's fine.
End of the bench player, you know, right. Whatever. McDermott, they swung and missed. They swung and missed on him like they swung and missed on Guterich. I don't think he has it. I don't think he's going to make it. I know Brandon Abraham's going to hear this and come from my head. But I think the Grizzlies will move on from him after his two ways up this year, and look to fill that spot with somebody else next year. And then Porter, again, we haven't seen him. He can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I'd rather him be somebody else's project than the Grizzlies. Just kind of move on.
I mean, well, yeah, especially when you've got – so when you're looking at Porter and you've got Tilly, Tillman, and Clark, where's he going to play ever?
Right.
But I'm looking at a list that has Porter number 7, so.
Wow. I guess they know something we don't.
Well, they also have Winslow 12th and Valanciunas 14th.
Okay.
So
sounds like you got a lot of stuff to figure out there.
Good thing I'm a math teacher and I can work out averages pretty quick.
Yeah. Pull up the calculator.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of numbers and math, let's wrap this thing up with some bet the bear for this upcoming week.
All right. Grizzlies have 4 road games this week. They have OKC on Wednesday, looking to get a little revenge on that. Then they got Utah back to back Friday and Saturday night. And then a week from this past game against Boston, they got at Houston, who got their first win in, what, 21 games?
Yep.
They lost their previous 20.
Yep.
So congratulations to the Houston Rockets, finally getting back in the win column. it's been a rough go for them. OKC, they're 19-24 overall, 8-11-1 against the spread at home, and they're 20-22-1 on the over-under. The one thing that I did notice is they've only been favored twice all season. When I was looking at OKC, they're 1-0-1 as the favorite this season.
So when they're the favorite, bet on them.
Yeah, they're undefeated. But that's just crazy. And they have 19 wins.
That is
crazy. Utah, they are 31-11. They're 14-3-1 against the spread at home. 20-21-1 on the over-under. But the good news is they are 2-6 against the spread in their last 8 games. Take that for what you will. I'm going to look at the 14-3-1 against the spread at home, probably. And I don't know if I'll be betting the bear Friday and Saturday night in Utah.
I don't know if I want to bet against OKC.
No. I don't know. I'll see what the line is.
I mean, if Pikachu latches up again, I'm going to be pissed.
He'll just love playing the Grizzlies because he hadn't done much since then, has he?
No, Christopher Ernie will not live it down with Kevin O'Connor if Poku goes off again.
And then Monday against Houston, they are 12-30, 4-17 against the spread at home, 16-25-1 over under. I would give you the streaks they were on before tonight, but I mean they broke them all since they won. But still. As long as the spread's under like 8, I think I'm comfortable with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, but we're back into that territory of like we should have beat the Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder last time. Like I don't know what to do with this team anymore. Like
that is tough. That is the tough part about it because it feels like when you're comfortable. I mean, I put a decent coin on the Oklahoma City game. Because I just felt comfortable with it after the way they've been playing. And then
it was a G League game. Dud
and I haven't touched it since.
Well, yeah, because you wouldn't touch against the Heat.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That it's crazy. It's maddening. You're sitting there and you think it's one thing and then it's the next. And I still can't figure this team out.
So what it sounds like is just do the opposite of what you think you should do and you might win.
Yeah. So, I'm betting OKC, Grizzlies against Utah twice, and then Houston.
Don't think that's going to pay off very well. You may go 0-4 on that one.
Yeah, but the Grizzlies, you think 2-2, legit? I mean, I know it's 4 road games. Would you be happy with a 2-2 road trip?
I'd be happy with a 2-2 road trip because you're expecting to win – OKC and Houston and probably get swept in Utah. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to beat OKC. They're going to split Utah, and they're going to lose to Houston.
And then we'll be back here this time next week talking about what the Grizzlies did to lose one of these games. They'll probably get the second one in Utah because, you know, it's a game before Houston. So you're like, oh, yeah, they look great against Utah.
Yep.
And come to Houston.
Utah's going to rest. Utah will rest somebody in that second night, like Mike Conley will rest or somebody like that. And then we'll be like all excited and pumped because we just beat the best team in the NBA and then lay a fat egg against Houston. But here's the thing, too, though. We don't know what Houston's going to look like come Sunday because trade deadline's on Thursday. I don't see this Houston roster looking the same.
And OKC. I don't know what They may be doing stuff. I don't know if they will, but who knows?
I think they'll Wednesday get rid of Al Horford.
Yeah. I mean, if they're doing something Wednesday, that's the day before the trade deadline, they could sit some extra guys out.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it won't matter. Their whole G League team beat the Grizzlies.
Oh, my gosh.
What is it? The Blue?
Yeah. I don't even know where they're from. They're just – are they the OKC Blue?
I think so.
Oh. Ben, it's late. Yeah. You got anything else?
That's it. Let's hopefully we're talking about a win this time next week, because that'll be bad.
Yeah, it's not fun hopping on here after a loss.
No, especially if it's to a 12-30 Houston team that just snapped a 20-game losing streak.
What time's that tip-off? Does it say on there?
It'd take me a second to pull it up.
Please be 7 o'clock.
Hold on 1 second. Sorry. I had it up initially, but I had everything written down in here, except for the game time, obviously. It's 7 o'clock.
Okay.
They got Thunder and Rockets are 7 o'clock tips, Jazz both 8 o'clock, but it's a Friday and Saturday night, so I'm probably not doing anything.
You haven't learned yet that with a kid, it doesn't matter what night of the week is, you're going to be tired.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, I'm probably not doing it. I'm not going out.
Well, we ain't going nowhere.
Got a kid and it's a pandemic, guy. Yeah. Options are limited.
All right, man. It's been fun. Y'all look for that. The keeper ranking article from Grizzly Bear Blues will be out on Wednesday. Kind of a trade deadline primer for you guys. And I'm sure the captain, Joe Mullinax, will have you a trade deadline primer as well to get ready for the lots of no activity from Memphis in their front office. That we're expecting. No bill on bill this year, I'm afraid.
Hey, but we'll promise full coverage of the trade deadline on Grizzly Bear Blues.
Yes, we will do that. If anything happens, we've got your back. All right. For Ben, I'm Justin. You can find this podcast on Twitter at 3ndpod. You can find him at NotTheGolfer. You can find me at J_TimberFake_. And make sure you follow Grizzly Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies and check out our other podcast on the network, The Starting Five, The Core Four, and GBB Live. Until next time.